Looking for interesting fashion accessories to keep up with your friend's cupcake belt? Look no further than Amazon.com. Find the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here, and oh, baby, do we have a hell of a show for you guys this morning. Back from paternity leave, we have a double Survivor exit interview for you guys here today. We're going to start off by talking to Colton Cumby, and then we're going to follow that up by talking with Rachel Folger, the second and third people technically eliminated from Survivor Blood versus Water. So very big show here today. A double exit interview should be a lot of fun. If you guys haven't heard, Nicole and I have some fantastic news. We had the birth of our son was on Sunday afternoon. We welcomed Dominic James Cesternino into the world, and everybody is doing fantastic. Thanks so much. We got so much love from the Rahap community over the last couple days, everybody sending us all of their well wishes and all sorts of wanting to know how everybody is doing. And I can tell you, everybody is doing great. We are home from the hospital. We came home on Tuesday, and it's, you know, a little bit of getting used to here with the baby, but everything is going really, really good. He's very strong. He's solid. He came out just a hair under 8 pounds. So Nicole is recuperating. Nicole was a little worse for the wear than he was. He has come out and is really, really healthy. Everything is going great. And thanks so much for everybody who's been wanting to send us all positive thoughts. And it really paid off because everybody is doing really, really good. So very exciting stuff over here. And we've got a very exciting season of Survivor on our hands. Now, we're 3 episodes in. I am thoroughly enjoying the new season of the show. I know a lot of people had some concerns, but I have to say this whole Redemption Island thing has proved to be pretty interesting. Some of the more interesting stuff from last night turned out just having everybody there in sort of like an open forum, people yelling stuff at each other. I found it very interesting. So we're going to talk about all of that with our guests today. Last night on Survivor Know-It-Alls, we had some great fill-in guests for me. Over the last couple days, we had our Breaking Bad finale podcast where Stephen Fishback filled in for me there. Jessica Leese talked to Zev and Justin about the season premiere of The Amazing Race 23 on Monday night. And then last night, Stephen Fishback brought in a true Survivor know-it-all as Malcolm Freeburg joined Stephen Fishback to debate everything that happened last night on Survivor Know-It-All. So if you want to check that conversation out, that shows up at robhasawebsite.com. And of course, if you're subscribed to the show at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or on YouTube at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube, you've already got it, and just go and check that out. Thanks so much to Malcolm for stepping in, and thanks so much for Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, one of the trusted people in the Rob Has a Podcast cabinet. He put on all of these shows while I was away, got them all up on iTunes. So thank you so much to Scott for keeping the show up and running while I was away with Nicole. All right, so let's get into our first guest for the day. We have Colton Cumby, who came back to Survivor for the second time and had a very unceremonious departure from the game last night. And I see that we have him on the line. So Colton, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Colton. First thing, I just want to make sure you're gonna make it through this whole phone call with me, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good, Colton. Well, happy to be speaking with you this morning.
Hold on. Time out. Let me just say this, and then you can go back to berating me. Congratulations. Seriously, he is adorable.
Oh well, thank you. Thank you very much, Colton. I very, very much appreciate it. But okay. Yes, continue. We'll save the social call for another time. We've got a lot of important stuff to talk about. And you know that I like you. I've had you on the show a bunch of times. So, but we got a lot to get through today. So, first thing, Colton, I want to know what the hell happened out there. I know how much you love the game. Why did you quit?
You know, people are going to say that this is an angle, and that's fine. That's their prerogative. People can believe what they want to. But honest to God, what my decision boiled down to was I knew I was going home, and I knew that when I got voted out, I was going to go to Redemption Island, and I knew Caleb was going to take my place. And I knew that there would be no, you know, conversation. There would be no, like, you know, well, I don't want you to, just let me stay. Like, I just, that's how he is. Like, he's going to ride in, and he's going to save me, and he's going to say, no, like, you're going to go take my spot, and I'm going to fight this for you. And then he would do this whole, like, you know, this is your dream, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I didn't want that. I didn't want Caleb to sacrifice himself for me. Like, you know, he has, Caleb's the one between the two of us, like, he is the better Survivor player, clearly. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, I want to win $1 million, and him winning is me winning. So, you know, I might as well help him in several ways. Like, I'm not even going to put him in the situation of having to choose between me and, or saving me and not. And I'm also going to take a huge target off his back, because honestly, I was the biggest target on Caleb's back. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, but why not play it out a little further? I mean, if that was indeed, you know, the real reason, why not go as far as you can go? And let's say, okay, at the end of day 9, now your tribe didn't even go to tribal council. Let's say, but hypothetically, they lose, they go to the tribal council in the next episode. You get voted off. And then when you get to the Redemption Island duel, why not quit then? And then say, look, when Caleb says, hey, I'm going in for you, you say, oh, no, you're not. I quit the game. You can't go in for me.
Yeah. I mean, I could have done that. I didn't think about that at the time. At the time, I just thought, you know, this, like I kept saying to Jeff, I felt like that was the best move for me. I felt like it was the only move. I didn't think about that. And I guess I'm kind of, you know, to argue that point, like, why would I subject myself to 3 more days of that just to quit? You know what I mean?
Well, what are you subjecting yourself to? Playing Survivor?
Well, like, living in the elements and stuff like that. I mean, why would I not have a cold bottle of water now when I, like, why would I wait 3 days when I'm just going to quit? You know what I mean?
But if, like, that's how you feel, why even go back to the show? I mean, that I thought this, if this was in fact your dream, why give up on the dream so easily?
Because I wanted Caleb to do well. Like, that was what it came down to. I mean, if it was a normal season, and, like, there was no component of, like, stupid Redemption Island or, you know, your loved one can switch or whatever, I would have stuck it out. And I would have just let Jeff snuff my torch. And then, you know, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. But in my mind, all I could think about at that point was, how am I going to win this game without winning this game? Mm-hmm. And my best bet was sitting over on Tatana.
So, all right, what it felt like to me as a viewer, and I think a lot of people felt the way, it felt like, you know, you didn't get your way in the game and that you wanted to take your ball and go home. And right, I know Otis referred to you as the gay Russell Hance a couple of weeks ago, but that to me sounds like you could be the gay Brandon Hance.
Or the gay Purple Kelly.
Well, but I feel like it's somewhat similar to Brandon Hance last season where, you know, he didn't get, you know, he wanted to come back and he wanted things to go a certain way and he could see that he was on the outside looking in. And so he went out a different way. He threw a temper tantrum and I actually felt like he got a more respectful exit from the game than they ended up giving you last night. But I felt
of
like
course.
it was very similar.
Because, you know, Prep likes him.
Yeah, but Jeff seemed like Jeff really did not hide his feelings. Jeff felt like he seems like he really disliked you from what we saw last night.
And it's just, you know, it's ironic because he stood there in that arena before God and everybody and said, Colton, I'm one of the main people who campaigned for you to come back on this show, and you're just going to walk?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, oh, really? And now you're going to go tell everyone that you didn't want me on the show? Like, okay, yeah, nice way to try to save face there, Fred.
Well, Jeff threw it out there, and I had never thought this before, but now I'm seeing a lot of people say, I knew this all along, that you quit Survivor One World.
Like, what? First of all, why would I quit One World? Like, please, if anyone can tell me a valid argument as to why I would quit a game that I was controlling, had a hidden immunity idol. So it's like, let's say, you know, worst case scenario, Christina Cha woke up and wanted to vote me out next and, you know, convinced all my guys to go with her, then, you know, I could have played an idol. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And that's what's so frustrating. It's like, I don't understand why anyone would believe that.
But it didn't seem like you fought that last night. It seemed like Jeff threw that out there, and it seemed like you sort of, It seemed like you even copped to it a little bit last night, and I never had thought that before about Survivor One World, but can you tell us definitively you did not quit Survivor One World?
I did not quit Survivor One World, and as far as defending it last night, I mean, Rob, you should know better than anyone, like, how editing is. Like, that whole segment was so confusing. Like, Rachel, Tyson's girlfriend, she and I, obviously, we go out together, and, you know, we were talking about it, and we're like, this doesn't even make sense. Like, how everything is so, like, mixed up and confusing, and like the whole thing, I was confused. And in that moment, like going back to like the time when it real time when it was actually happening, I just wanted to get out of there. Like, I didn't care if Pope said, you know, that he hated me and I was Satan himself, like whatever, like just leave me alone. I just want to go. And I couldn't say what I really wanted to say. I couldn't say I'm quitting this game for Caleb, because what's that going to do? That's going to put a huge target on Caleb. Like, I'm trying to take attention off of him. So, you know, and one reason I think that Probst, I think two things. I think that Probst was super pissed because I wouldn't answer his questions, because he kept asking me why I was doing this. And I kept saying, I don't know, because I didn't have anything to say, because like I said, I didn't want to say I'm quitting to take the target off of Caleb, which I say that in my exit interviews, like once I finally get out of the game and away from everyone, like I start talking freely, but I'm not going to say that in the arena. And then the other thing was, he's never had a chance to snuff my torch. And I think he feels, for some reason, like the animosity and the frustration that America feels, because America has never actually got to see me, like, you know, lose.
I guess so. I guess technically not. And I don't know if we're ever going to get that opportunity at this point. But we got about 5 minutes left or so. So we've got a few questions. Let's try to go a little rapid fire. To me, as somebody who sort of tries to put myself in the headspace of the people that are in the game, was part of the reason why you didn't want to be there was, did you feel like you had pre-game alliances that didn't pan out and then realize, hey, that this is not going to go my way?
No, not at all. My pre-game alliances were actually rock solid. Like, Monica Culpepper is to this day one of my best friends in the world. Like, I adore that woman. Our relationship has transitioned so much from One World to Blood versus Water. And, you know, she was a godsend to me. You know, and the only other person that I really talked to pregame, and it wasn't even on my own accord, like, I was back and forth about going the whole entire time. Well, at one point, I actually told Kim Spradlin, I was like, you know, I don't think I want to do it again. Well, the next thing I know, I'm sitting at LAX, and I get a phone call from Aris, of all people, who I've never even exchanged a sentence with. And, you know, he's trying to tell me, like, that if I go, he'll work with me. Well, little did I know, he also made that call to every other person on Go Long.
Okay. Well, that's very, very interesting stuff. How about, I want to know, who from your tribe were you most irritated with? You seemed very irritated with everybody, but was there one person in particular that really got under your skin?
By far.
What did he do?
He just, that whole, like, having a deal with everyone and, you know, trying to play it off like he didn't, and I would try to, like, you know, call him out on it, and everyone just would follow him and continue to drink his Kool-Aid, if you will. And it was extremely frustrating for me, you know, and the whole, like, the pre, like, existing relationships, and I'm not even talking about pre-game alliances, just like people who knew each other before, like, that was frustrating for me in terms of, like, you know, I would go to Jervis, and Jervis is like, well, I'm willing to get rid of ours, but I don't want to write his name down because we're friends. And I'm like, he had no problem writing your name down on the initial vote off. Like, and that's another thing about Aris that annoyed me. It's like, he didn't have the balls to, like, make a decision because he was so scared that he was going to, like, piss off everyone that he had aligned with. And, you know, the way I play Survivor is exactly what these people did to me. You know, I can't fault them because that's how I play. Like, you know, you're next and, you know, you've made your bed. So you're next and there's really nothing to talk about. And so, you know, I can appreciate that aspect of it.
How much did you try to play the chaos card? How much of that was intentionally your strategy to try to get everybody going against each other?
Not until I found out. I went to Tina and was like, you know, Tina, like, Jervis is willing to get rid of ours. I've got Monica. I've got Tyson. Like, we just need you, and we have five. And that was the worst thing I could have done, because Tina ended up going to ours, and she told him, you know, what was up, and that's kind of when everybody flipped on me, because then Aris went to Tyson and was like, he's telling me he wants to get rid of you, which was completely untrue. And, you know, it just kind of spiraled from there.
I mean, from watching the secret scenes and from the episode, it seemed like the biggest criticism people had of you was you were overplaying and playing too hard, too fast. How do you respond to that criticism?
You know, the only thing I can say is that the strategic part of Survivor is the part of Survivor I enjoy. I don't care. I mean, and I understand, you know, there's three parts. There's the physical, the social, and the strategic. You know, I don't care about your life story. Like, I didn't come here to hear about your grandkids and all this kind of stuff. Like, that doesn't interest me. And so, you know, I mean, if you want to tell me about that, that's fine. But let's get business taken care of first. Let's figure out what's the order everyone's going to go home. Then I'll sit back and I'll relax and we'll have this whole, like, zen, you know.
I know, but I think you have it backwards. I think what you need to do to go far into the game is you have to build that trust with people. And then once the people feel comfortable with you, then you could talk about the other stuff. And I know that you're very, you want to, I love that part of the game too, but you just got to lay that groundwork down with these people.
You're right, and that's why, you know, you're better at this than me.
All right, well, Colton, it's, you know, always fun to talk to you. I hope that you and Caleb are doing very well, and all the best to you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Colton Cumby. A few answers here for us this morning as to why Colton wanted to come out of the game, and I know that some people may be satisfied with that, some people may not be satisfied about it, but that is the great thing about a podcast. It's interactive, so I'm sure we will get some comments from you guys at robhasawebsite.com. Before we get to Rachel, I just want to throw this out there because it is that time of year again. The podcast awards have snuck up on us once again, and we need your help to be nominated for the best entertainment podcast of 2013. So if you are so inclined and you think that we are worthy of a podcast award nomination, you can go to podcastawards.com and nominate us. You only get to submit one ballot for nominated. So maybe do some research on all of the other podcasts that you like and submit them as well. When you submit your ballot, you have to send your email address and they may ask you to confirm your nomination. But I believe the podcast nominations are open for the next couple of weeks, but if you want to do it, just get it out of the way whenever you can. Podcastawards.com, nominate Rob as a podcast for best entertainment podcast of 2013, and you can nominate any other podcast you listen to as well for podcast awards, as long as they're in other categories. Okay, so let's get into our second half of this show today. We have our exit interview with Rachel Folger coming up, and I felt like Rachel sort of got a raw deal here going out of the game when she did through no fault of her own. But we have her here on the line, so let's go ahead and patch her through. Rachel, are you there?
Rob, how's it going?
Rachel, very nice to talk to you, but I did not expect to talk to you this quick.
I know. I feel like I let you down.
Well, Rachel, once Nicole and I both agreed that you were the pick to win Survivor Blood versus Water, you were completely doomed, and you did worse than any other pick either of us have ever made. So
I know. I remember watching that podcast and being so flattered, and then being like, dang it.
It was such a kiss of death that we both came to an agreement. So
that was so funny.
No, but I really think that I was impressed with your game. I really felt like in last week's episode, it was such a 180 that I had to do, because I felt like early on in the game, I felt like Nicole and I did nail it, that, oh, we said, okay, the guys are going to all get together on the tribe of new players, and Rachel's going to fit in with the guys, and she's going to get along better with the guys than the girls, and then when they get to the merge, then she'll be in a good spot and nobody's coming after her. And I felt like that was the plan. That was all going to go that way until they said, hey, why don't we get rid of Rachel and then Tyson will take her spot.
Exactly. That was my plan too. But that the very first, when Marissa and Jervis were asked or told they could switch, did you worry about me right then?
Yeah, I started to be worried.
Yeah.
Pretty much right off the bat.
<too. laughs>
Yeah. So, I mean, it kind of feel like it was a little bit unfair. It was almost like one of these circumstances where maybe more so than almost any other Survivor player, you kind of just got voted out of the game for nothing having to do with yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, it didn't have to do with my performance in the game at all. I was kind of the sacrificial lamb out there.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go through everything from your experience out there. And I'm very happy to hear that you did have fun out there. And that is important.
Yeah. And fun is the key word in that sentence. I don't know if I'd exactly call it fun, but it was a great experience. And I was really glad that I could do it.
All right. So going back to Redemption Island, I really thought, and I looked a little foolish, I guess, after the fact that I thought Tyson was going to switch with you because, you know, knowing Tyson a bit, I know how confident he is in his skills as an athlete and in the challenges. And we've actually talked about this on the show before, that Tyson would clean up at Redemption Island if he ever went there. And I sort of felt like, so why wouldn't Tyson switch with you? You go there. He has an alliance. I'd assume his alliance would take care of you. He could go win all the challenges at Redemption Island, come back into the game, and you guys are both there at the merge. Why didn't you want Tyson to do that?
You know what? At the time, I was so confident in my decision just because I also know that Tyson, he is strong with the challenges, but I also know he had a good thing going for him over there just because I know his social game also. So with him having played this game already two times before, he has way more experience than me. And that he could probably get farther. So as a couple, I wanted to keep him in that good spot. I was in a bad spot from the very beginning. So I wanted to keep him moving forward. If I were being selfish and I was playing an individual game, I would have switched with him because I'm not good at those kinds of duels. I can do the physical ones, and I like to say I was training for those with Tyson, swimming, running, hiking, everything.
Yeah.
And it turns out I should have just been at home eating bonbons and playing dominoes.
Yeah,
so
that's
kind of the downfall of my game.
Well, that's the thing. I know Tyson is a great athlete, but yeah, a lot of these games are sort of like, you know, Jenga or dominoes or some sort of thing that sort of neutralize any sort of strength advantage that somebody has. So it is hard to figure. Can you explain a question that I have about the rules of these games? So they asked if Tyson would take your spot on Redemption Island. Do they also ask if, for instance, would John go back into the game for Candace, or if Jervis would take Marissa's spot? Are you allowed to switch only the first time you go to Redemption Island, or are you allowed to switch at any time?
You know what? Apparently, you are allowed to switch at any point in the game.
Okay.
So that still wasn't even clear to me when I was out there playing. I think we asked somebody just last night.
Okay.
So because Jeff will kind of ask you that very first day, but he doesn't really ask any of the other times. But apparently, yes, you can switch any time in the game. I'm not sure how many people know this, though.
Okay, well, they should really give out like a pamphlet on the first day or something like that.
Right?
So you have some more ideas. So when you were in the tribe of the loved ones, before you got voted out, was it sort of obvious that there was this bro alliance that was forming?
Oh, it was clear, like very clear. Brad was not secretive about anything. He's very loud. So yeah, from the very beginning, I knew that there was an alliance, and therefore I had two options. I maybe could have gotten the girls together. If we were able to pull one guy, we could have done something. But my best bet was really just to get in with the guys as much as I could. And I feel like I was doing a pretty good job at that, but my tribe was so disappointed. Every challenge we lost, they would get so disappointed. So they wanted Tyson out of that game, and that's why I became a target.
No, I thought you had the right idea. Talk a little bit about Brad Culpepper. What was your take on him, getting to know him a little bit?
You know, Brad, he's just such a goofy guy, and he really is a good person. I like Brad. I didn't hate him, but it was just kind of obnoxious. I mean, I was just so sick of football. I was so sick of football stories. I've heard enough about football to last me for the rest of my life, really. But yeah, he's just full of stories, all about him, of course. So he was just kind of nonstop out there.
Now, when Tyson got into it with Brad Culpepper a little bit, were you sort of like, yeah, like a way to go, Tyson? Or were you sort of like, Tyson, don't let's settle down a little bit here?
No, Brad deserved it. I liked it. So he deserved it for sure. And he's got a lot more coming for him. As you can see, the previews for next week.
Yeah, so. I mean, I couldn't believe that Marissa walked in and was like, F you, Brad Culpepper.
it was awesome. So yeah. No, I loved all of that. He had it coming to him. So
that's worse, I feel like, when you get an FU with a first and last name. I don't think anybody's ever said to me FU Rob Sesternino.
Yeah, it's kind of, it makes it a little more serious, huh?
Yeah, I think so. It's like, I've definitely had FU Rob, but I don't know if I've ever had FU Rob Sesternino. But
yeah,
it's really, it feels like you're really in trouble when you get the first name and last name.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when your mom uses your first and your middle name or something when you're in
Oh, forget about that.
More serious.
Very serious. How about the decision that you guys made initially to vote off Marissa instead of Katie or Sierra at the first tribal council?
You know what? I think it was a mistake, and I even had said that out there. I don't think she was our smartest person to vote off. She's a strong girl. So, however, with that alliance, if I had defended her at all or had said anything, that would have put a huge target on my back. So I really had to just kind of keep calm and go with the majority on that one, even though I think it was a mistake.
Yeah, absolutely. We know the paranoia is very high in the tribe of loved ones, as we saw last night when your buddy Dr. John got voted off. How surprised were you to see John see the Bro Lions start to cannibalize itself this early in the game?
I was really surprised because here they are losing every single challenge, for some reason keeping Katie and Sierra in the game, which can't do anything in those challenges. So that was surprising to me. However, it wasn't a complete surprise because he was being so secretive about the idol that I knew that it was making everybody at camp feel a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Whenever you have an idol, especially in that situation where it's given to you publicly, they just wanted to flesh that out.
Yeah. So you got to spend some time with Dr. Candace at Redemption Island. Did you let her know that you had been working with John a bit in your camp?
Yeah, I did. I let her know. I let her know about our alliance. I let her know that his name had been written down that night. So I kind of let her know all that.
And how was Candace holding up at Redemption Island?
You know, she was doing okay. She was still really bitter about having her name written down that very first day. But us girls were doing awesome. Marissa was catching fish, and we were cooking rice, and we were doing really good out there.
Okay. So we saw Tyson last night, very upset when you ultimately lost the duel. But he said he was very happy that you got to have fun and you weren't like one of these people that Survivor ruins their lives. And I thought that was a very interesting comment that he made. Have you guys ever talked about this or like going into this game about like what sort of expectations he had for you and how he wanted you to think about going into Survivor?
Yeah, for sure. That's something that I've actually always asked him about, because you do hear of people getting off the game and they become very Survivor obsessed. It kind of runs and changes their life. And that's one thing that now that I've played this game, I can kind of see it. But I would ask him, having been on the show twice before, each time I'd be like, what is it? Like, what is it about this game that kind of makes you get really obsessive about it? And he would try to answer, but you don't really understand it until you go through like the mind warp that it is out there.
Okay. Yeah. It's can be very intoxicating for people because it is an escape from, you know, sort of the mundane sort of like 9 to 5, you know, you have sort of like a routine in your life, and then you go out there and you go and do Survivor, and suddenly, you know, millions and millions of people are interested in what you're doing. And then for a lot of people, they just, it's like trying to get that high again of trying to get back to it, and you end up becoming very bitter about the whole thing.
Yeah, and it's so common. I mean, it happens with a lot of people, so it worried me a little bit. Like, is this really going to change? what's the deal? Like, what is this change in people, this obsession? How does this happen? You know, but I didn't let it get that far. And I also know that I played the game as best as I could, being targeted so early on. So I'm just glad that I don't have any regrets, because I think that's the hardest thing for people, is they look back and say, I should have done this, or I looked so stupid here, you know. I don't really have any of those things. Yeah. So.
Other than, you know, stacking some dominoes in a different way, there's not really much you could have done differently.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Dominoes. I don't like dominoes.
Well, I want to ask you about one thing that you could potentially be bitter about. Do you have any hard feelings about the cuddlemance going on between Tyson and Otis over there at the returning players camp?
Oh my gosh, when I saw that, I just started laughing. It's hysterical, because that's just so Tyson. And you know what? We were both laughing just the other day, because it caused a really big stir. Those couple of seconds on TV, people on Twitter and everybody is saying, does Rachel know about this?
And what
does she know what's going on? So
what is your response?
It's funny that it caused such a big thing.
Do you have an official response to the cuddlemance between Tyson and Otis?
An official response?
Yes.
Just go for it. Hey, you got a cuddle out there when you're on Survivor. You need some love.
Whoa. Okay. Wow. That's good. You have a very open mind.
They're very cute together, don't you think?
I think so. I'm a fan of the cuddlemance now that I know that you have given the green light for it. So as long as it's kosher with you, that's good. All right, well, and one last thing. Is there anything that the viewers of Survivor, now we've seen Tyson now three times on Survivor. What is it? What's something about Tyson that us as the people who've watched him go back on the show so many times don't know about him that you do know that you can share with us?
Well, you know, I think you got to see that a little bit just last night. Tyson's always been the goofy character. He's very fun and free-spirited, and nothing holds him down, but there is a side to him that is more serious and can be emotional that you got to see last night. So now you've seen both sides. I think you've seen all the sides of Tyson.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't say anything about it, but I'm concerned about him with this shoulder injury. I thought he was coming out of the game last night. I was like, oh my God, we're going to lose Tyson and Rachel in one night. But I'm hoping that the shoulder thing is not that serious, and I hope that he's going to rebound and be able to go the distance here in this game. But we'll see. We'll see. Very.
Yeah, you have to wait and see.
We'll wait and see. All right. Well, Rachel, thank you so much, and all the best to you. And I saw Tyson tweeted it last week. Are you planning a campaign for Miss Survivor 2014?
I don't know if I would really deserve that title, having not lasted very long in the game, but I can start that campaign, sure.
Would you endorse Tyson for Miss Survivor 2014?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a definite.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. All the best to you and Tyson, okay?
Thanks, Rob.
All right, take care. All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Rachel Folger, maybe one day, we'll keep our fingers crossed, the Mrs. Tyson Apostle, if Otis doesn't get in there first. So that could be a real love triangle that we'll see how that plays out all season long. All right, so I'm going to stop talking about Survivor here at this point. I will do some more Survivor talk. I'm going to record the least you need to know about the episode number 3 of Survivor, but I'm not going to do an exit interview podcast, or I'm sorry, I'm not going to do a full interview podcast like I do with the Survivor and Take the Voicemail. That's the one that really takes up about 6 or 7 hours to produce. So I'm going to extend my paternity leave a little bit longer and then be back with a full slate of podcasts for you guys next week. But I'll do my YouTube video, The Least You Need to Know About Episode 3 of Survivor, which is about a 4-minute. Maybe I'll do a little bit longer because I haven't talked that much about the entire episode and the decision to vote off John this week, but I'll cover that all on my YouTube channel. So if you want to subscribe to that, go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Now, Halloween is right around the corner, and the place to go for anything Halloween-related, whether it's costumes or decorations or candy or any of that good stuff, is Amazon.com. You can go directly to the Amazon Halloween homepage if you go to robhasawebsite.com/Halloween. And of course, any shopping you do through that link helps to support Rob Has a Podcast. And speaking of Halloween, we have some big Rob Has a Podcast news coming up. We had a great stretch run here covering the final 8 episodes of Breaking Bad, and we've gotten a lot of requests for this. And while this might not be everybody's cup of tea, we're very excited for it because the people that want it will be very excited. We are going to do a Walking Dead recap every week as well. So we're going to try to spread our wings a little bit more. Baby birds will fly. So we will talk about Walking Dead every week on Sunday night. That will be taking the place of the Breaking Bad recap. And I will be doing that with one of our resident in-house survivor bloggers, Josh Wigler. Will be joining me every week to talk about The Walking Dead live after the East Coast version of Walking Dead. And as I mentioned, Josh Wigler, make sure you're checking out the daily blogs from our survivor bloggers on robhasawebsite.com, because these guys are really putting out some amazing stuff every day. We've got pretty much a blog going up every day for you guys, in addition to Jessica's blog about The Amazing Race. We've got 5 survivor bloggers commenting on this season as well. So you're never at a loss for survivor coverage here at robhasawebsite.com. So we're going to be adding a Walking Dead recap to the mix on Sunday night. And of course, our Amazing Race recap will be on Monday nights. Survivor Know It Alls on Wednesday. And then we'll do all our survivor coverage on Thursday. So a full slate of podcasts coming up for you guys in the fall. I hope you guys enjoy it. And maybe this is a podcast worthy of a nomination from you guys for the 2014 Podcast Awards. All right, that's going to do it for me here today. We got a very busy day going to our first pediatrician appointment and all that good stuff. So lots of fun. Thanks again for all of the support we've gotten over the last couple of days. Nicole and I were very touched by all of the likes and favorites from our tweets and all of your comments about the baby. We really, really were feeling the love, and we're very, very, very happy and so such a fun time of everything. So I'm sorry about a little bit of a loss for words, but it's been a very, very exciting week, and looking forward to everything coming up here with you guys in the fall. So have a great day, everybody, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.